But we start this morning with, I suppose it's a familiar January story, and that's problems in our emergency department. Talks aimed at averting next week's planned strike in those emergency departments in seven hospitals are expected to get underway immediately. But what's really happening in our hospitals? Fergal Hickey is consultant in emergency medicine at Sligo University Hospital and communications officer for the Irish Association for Emergency Medicine. He joins us on the line. Fergal, thanks indeed for talking to us.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. Let's just start. I mean, I think there are figures out this morning, these INMO trolley watch figures. Where are we at?
So the figure as of 8 o'clock this morning is 427, which is down from 473 yesterday. But in many ways, Shane, this is a bit like talking about the flooding. The levels may be down a couple of centimetres in the Shannon, but there's large areas of the Midlands and other parts of the country underwater. And I think that's one of the difficulties, is that people see the figures and see them as an improvement, when the reality is it's unacceptably bad. And there is no way of denying that. And, you know, when people are looking for comfort in relatively marginal reductions compared with last year, they're missing the point.
Yeah, I mean, you're in the thick of it. I've been following this as a journalist for as long as I can remember, and every January it's pretty much the same story, and we don't seem to be an awful lot closer to actually getting a solution to it.
No, and I think that's one of the difficulties. But also, even your own introduction, when you talked about almost the inevitability of this being a January problem, I think reflects a lot of the worry about this issue. This is a 12-month of the year problem in many hospitals. So it's not just a winter problem. It just happens to be worse in the winter. But this is a problem that is now affecting the paediatric hospitals, which previously haven't had a problem, and it affects all hospitals in the country, with perhaps one or two exceptions. Now, the reason for that is that we are short of capacity. So
Just before we get to the shortage of capacity, let me ask you a question, which I'm going to tread carefully here, because I'm not doubting the people who go to emergency departments, but one thing that always strikes me, and I even see this with my own kids, if I had to bring them down to Temple Street, there are certain times that you know it's going to be absolutely crazy in the emergency department. For example, if you went in there on Christmas Day into an emergency department, I imagine it would be quite quiet. Whereas the week after Christmas, it's incredibly busy. To me, that suggests that, and I say this advisedly, but there are people in emergency departments who should not be in emergency departments. Because if you have a genuine emergency, you can't time it to happen after Christmas or not at the weekend.
Absolutely. I mean, there's no doubt there's variability in attendances. Having said that, Christmas Day in our hospital in Sligo was particularly busy.
Okay, all right.
So it's not an issue of purely people turning up, you know, just when they kind of feel the urge rather than when they have a medical emergency. Remember also, what we're talking about is people on trolleys. So these are people who a decision has been made that they require hospital admission. Mm. So these are emergencies. Now, there may be other people who turn up to emergency departments with less emergent problems, but they're not the ones that end up on trolleys.
Okay, fair enough.
So I think we need to be careful in thinking that if we turn off, in some way, if we turn off the demand, the problem will go away. It won't, because this is a problem of admitted inpatients.
Okay, you tell us then where you think the problems lie.
So at the moment, we have a perfect storm in many ways. So we've increasing demand. So at the moment, 1.2 million people attend emergency departments nationally. Having said that, what is happening is the number of people who require to be admitted is going up. Now, much of that is due to medical successes. So people who would have died in the past with complex and often multiple medical problems are now surviving. The cost of that is that they often require repeated hospital admissions over the course of the rest of their lives. And so that's a problem. So demand is going up. At the same time, the capacity has gone down. So before the recession, OECD figures suggest that we had fewer acute hospital beds than we needed, and something in the order of between 1,500 and 2,000 beds were taken out of the system during the recession. So if we were short of beds then, when we had less demand, we're much shorter of beds now when we have greater demand. And to be fair, the minister has acknowledged that and acknowledged it as recently as last night on the television.
Okay, because I have heard people in the past, thoughtful people, people who've considered this issue, former heads of the HSE, for example, saying this. You know, it's not a simple issue about more hospital beds. Do you think it is ultimately?
No, it's not as simple as that. But there is no doubt that with the reduction in the hospital beds, hospitals have become much more efficient. You know, throwing hospital beds alone at the problem would not solve the problem. It would ultimately be overwhelmed. But the point is that hospitals have become much more efficient. They're treating much greater number of patients, so far more patients at operations in hospitals last year than ever before. So we're seeing both an increased emergency workload, but also an increased elective workload. But what we don't have is the capacity to do both simultaneously in an environment which we have removed beds from. Now, there's still stuff that needs to go from requiring admission to being done as a day case. There are further efficiencies that can probably be achieved in certain hospitals, but many hospitals have maxed out on the efficiency benefits.
Mm. What about nurses? Because you get kind of conflicting stories about the numbers of nurses we have. On the one hand, we're told we have the highest level of nurses per capita in the OECD, but then we also hear stories about hospitals with shortage of nurses. I have to say, I'm completely confused.
Well, they may well both be true, in the sense that, you know, the figures for the national number of nurses are probably calculated by a very crude instrument of totalling up the number of nurses on the register, dividing it by the number of beds, and that's in community beds and other beds. So that's probably not a particularly relevant number. I mean, what I am aware of, and this is an issue which did crop up in the context of the INMO's industrial dispute, is that emergency departments are hemorrhaging nurses. So they're losing nurses hand over fist.
Well, why is that?
Well, I mean, would you want to work in an environment in which you might come in to do a shift 3 days in succession and see the same patients that were there on the first day when you come in to do your shift on the third day? I mean, the nurses are the ones that bear the majority of the abuse from patients and relatives about a situation that they have so little control over. So we are losing large number of nurses. Some of the bigger hospitals in the country have lost very significant number of nurses.
Can we quantify how many we're losing?
Well, we're talking about that there will be no emergency department in this country that hasn't lost nurses that it would wish to have kept, that are not being lost by virtue of retirement at the end of their career. And some hospitals have lost large numbers of nurses, and we were also under nursed to start with. So there has been work done nationally on the number of emergency department nurses, and we've fewer than we need for the demands that previously existed, much less the demands currently. So at the moment, Shane, I think the important issue is that no emergency department nurse minds working in a busy emergency department. That's what they're there to do, and that's what they're really, really good at. But what they can't do is work in both a busy emergency department and also act in while a hospital is using them as a warehouse for admitted inpatients. And that's the situation that they find themselves in, where they're expected to function, to do multiple tasks simultaneously, and they know they can't do them all well.
Okay, I want to come back to your warehouse point in a second, but I'm just thinking, for example, in Sligo, I mean, have you lost 10 nurses? Have you lost 20 nurses? Can you put a figure on it?
I mean, we've probably lost 5 or 6 nurses in the last 18 months. Now, we're talking about it from a complement of less than 30, so that's a significant number. But I think what's important to note is that people are trying actively to get out. So people are looking at options that become practice nurses, moving into other areas which do not have the same pressures applied to them. And these are people who are at their happiest and were at their happiest in an emergency department. But sometimes we confuse emergency department busyness, which is fine because that's what emergency departments are like, and in, you know, ridiculous situations where you're expected to function as both an emergency department and an inpatient ward. I mean, this is the equivalent. I mean, think about it. I mean, you have flown, no doubt, many times. If you were to get onto a flight, one of the whole complement that was supposed to be getting onto a flight, to find that the plane was occupied by patients, by passengers who hadn't been disembarked, you'd think this is crazy. And you wouldn't be prepared to fly in that situation because you'd know it would be unsafe. Yeah. That's what we do all the time.
What you use the term warehousing, does that suggest, going back to my earlier point, and I know you were kind of reluctant to accept it, understandably, that there are people in emergency departments who shouldn't be there? Are you saying it's the access point? And
no, it's the access point of the system. So what we have is a situation where the emergency department is open 24 hours, but the hospital is closed to the emergency department for much of that time because there's no access to beds. So the patients on trolleys are the patients with strokes, heart attacks, pneumonias, abdominal obstructions, you name it. I mean, all the things that require somebody to come into hospital. So this is where these patients are. But the problem is there's no bed to go to.
Okay.
Now, the issue, of course, is that these are admitted hospital inpatients, and yet the hospital is forcing the emergency department to lodge all of these patients and is confining the risk and confining the problems into one area. And yes, nurses do have a responsibility, and certainly ward nurses have a responsibility to be more proactive in allowing patients go to wards at the earliest available opportunity. And, you know, we do need to spread the burden. So rather than the emergency department having 20 or 30 patients on trolleys, we need to decant one or two extra patients from the hospital's admitted inpatient load into each of the wards. Yes, it'll be uncomfortable, but it'll be a lot safer and a lot less uncomfortable in the current situation.
I've heard the INMO objecting to that proposal.
Yes, and they do, because they worry that this becomes a permanent solution. The problem, this is not a permanent solution. The problem, this is a Band-Aid solution, but it is a much safer Band-Aid than the alternative. The alternative, the current situation, is grossly unsafe. And we know patients have died, and we know what the statistics on this are.
Okay.
So if we're going to fix the problem, we're going to have to develop additional capacity, but that cannot happen instantaneously. And in the meantime, the burden needs to be shared.
I'm not doubting the conditions that you work in and that nurses work in are horrific, and I wouldn't want to work in those conditions. I freely admit that. I do have to ask you, though, and it's something I do think about a lot. I mean, do staff in hospitals, do they look in the mirror as well ever and say, could we be doing more? Are we potentially part of the problem? And I'm thinking of things like I interviewed a woman whose son was due to have an operation and it kept being cancelled. This is a number of months ago. And one of the things she was saying was the operating theatre was only open 4.5 days. It wasn't open on a Friday afternoon because it was always cleaned on a Friday afternoon. And it just struck me at the time, I said, well, why can't they clean it at night, for example? I mean, are there issues in terms of, are there blockages there because of work practices, because of lack of flexibility from staff?
That may be part of it. And the reality is that, you know, what has been identified here is that the problems in the emergency department are a hospital and system issue where the symptoms are felt in the emergency department, but the solutions to the problems do not lie in the emergency department, and that's what makes it very difficult to solve. So where there are inefficiencies elsewhere, they have downstream effects, and they're felt in the emergency department. Now, having said that, clearly, Shane, I mean, people are operated on during the night, so you can't just routinely do your operation theatre cleaning at night on the basis that nothing will happen at night because, you know, cesarean sections are done at night, major abdominal surgery is done at night, certain types of complex orthopaedic surgery is done at night. I'm not saying that there aren't inefficiencies in the system and that there aren't ways that things could be done better. Yeah. But remember that in the emergency department, we're providing a 24/7 service to 1.2 million patients, and we're not necessarily getting the support of the hospital that we need or the system that we need to make that a safe environment currently.
Okay, a couple of last quick questions before I let you go. I know you need to get back to it. Do you despair that this will never end, that, you know, we could be talking here in 5 years' time? And
I worry about the fact that, you know, it is regarded as so inevitable. I mean, interestingly, it's not just an issue of inability to recruit nurses to work in emergency departments. It's an inability to recruit doctors to work in emergency departments. There's a number of consultant vacancies currently unfilled and have no prospect of being filled.
Is that a pay issue, or is that a work?
It's a terms and conditions issue in its broadest sense. I mean, if you have a choice between working in a nice new emergency department in Australia with an adequate number of staff, proper resources, adequate number of nurses, and a workload that can be coped with because they're essentially emergency department patients as opposed to hospital admitted inpatients as well, then why would you come home to an environment in which, you know, the despair and the reason that nurses are giving up emergency department work, where that comes into play? So we cannot fill senior trainee jobs in emergency medicine at present, and we cannot fill consultant jobs in emergency medicine at present. Yet we have a very dynamic emergency medicine student society. We have any number of doctors wanting to work, do their internship in emergency departments and taking relatively junior trainee posts. But after a few years, they realize this is crazy, this is not getting better. And unless we do something rapidly, then the service that's provided for the 1.2 million patients that avail of it is going to fall over. And, you know, the politicians of all sides need to recognize this is too important to be allowed to collapse.
Okay, and just lastly on that, I mean, the Health Minister, Leo Varadkar, coming under some pressure, I suppose, not exactly the first health minister to come under pressure, only the latest in a long line. Is this ultimately, and I ask this question with the, in the context of the general election where we're talking about tax cuts, it seems to be dominating everything, is this ultimately a resources issue? And I mean, the HSE saying ultimately they need about 2 billion euros more a year. Is that ultimately what it boils down to in your view?
To be fair, it's more complex than that. To be fair to Leo Varadkar, he at least understands the problems. Many of his predecessors simply did not understand the issues and pontificated about the issues rather than did something constructive. I think he has expressed his disappointment at the relatively slow progress that's taken place. And if you cross-reference that against the INMO's stance, they would argue that individual hospital managements have not really embraced the need to do what the HSE centrally is signed up to. So I think that they're important issues. There is a capacity
problem. Just on that, slagging off the HSE, which politicians are very wont to do, you think the problem might be further down the chain?
I do think that Lee Woods and his colleagues understand what the issues are. Now, they do claim improvements and they're, you know, there's always a tendency to claim improvements in the absence of improvements or in some way to suggest that, well, they're doing their best and that things are somewhat better, when, in fact, we need to accept that things are unacceptable and we need to move from that point. I think the minister has publicly done that, as I said, as recently as yesterday evening. I think that's important because unless we publicly accept the extent of the problem, then there's no incentive to fix it. But there is going to be a need for investment, and the investment is not just simply in hospital beds. We have an increasingly elderly population who need different care, some of which needs to be in primary care, some of which is chronic care, some of which is care that needs to be provided in the community as part of kind of outreach rather than necessarily require hospital admissions. But all of these things are expensive. And we have a mentality in the country at large, which is that we do not want to invest in health because it's seen as a waste of money.
Okay.
I mean, nothing could be further from the truth. If early investment in health and preventative investment of health in health would solve certain of our problems, but the issue of people being sick, being unwell, being injured is not going to go away anytime soon, and therefore we need to resource emergency departments and create a circumstance to allow them to be able to function in the way that they were intended.
Okay, look, we'll leave it there. Fergal, thanks indeed for joining us. Hopefully we're not talking about this next January as well, that there will be improvements. Fergal Hickey, Consultant in Emergency Medicine at Sligo University Hospital and Communications Officer for the Irish Association for Emergency Medicine. Thanks indeed for joining us. Lots of texts coming through on this. One listener says, the thought of going into a hospital now, even for something minor, frightens me. I prefer to die at peace in home than surrounded by chaos in a hospital. Another listener says, you hit the nail on the head. Money is wasted. Wards closed in Tallaght Hospital. Why can't they open this ward? It holds 32 beds. Now that would make sense.